This is Dak Prescott, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome to Faith on the Field Show, presented by International Justice Mission and the Masters University. I'm Rob Motti. I'm going solo this week without my beautiful wife, Remy. It's great to be with you on Fox Sports Las Vegas, ESPN Richmond, Angels Radio LA, The Game Orlando, ESPN Charlotte, Real Sports Atlanta, ESPN South Jersey, and 107.5 Alive. Thank you for tuning in or listening to the podcast. We have a very special, very powerful episode this week, featuring former Major League Baseball general manager Kevin Malone and former player Nick Hundley, who was a guest a few months ago. Kevin was the GM of the Montreal Expos and the LA Dodgers, and he's now the CEO and chairman of the board for the United States Institute Against Human Trafficking. Nick played 13 seasons in the majors. He played with San Diego, Baltimore, Colorado, San Fran, and Oakland. Caught nearly 1,000 games. He's now a director for Team Freedom with International Justice Mission. So we're going to talk about their joint efforts to fight trafficking at the Super Bowl in LA coming up in a few weeks. Fighting trafficking, saving children, saving all victims, really. It's a daily battle. It's not just around the Super Bowl and big sporting events, but that's where it's even magnified. But it's a daily battle right here in the U.S. and across the world. And the work that IJM is doing, the work that USIAHT, they're doing, it's tremendous. But we need more warriors to help to fight this disgusting exploitation of children. So we're going to get right into the conversation on this episode. Here's Kevin Malone and Nick Hundley.
Kevin and Nick, it's a pleasure to have both of you guys join me. Kevin, I want to ask you to start off a little bit before we get into what you're doing now. I know I'm sure you still have some friends in baseball. We're going through the lockout right now. What are your expectations as someone who was in the industry for so long? How do you think this is going to play out?
Well, that's a great question, Rob. I was involved in the last lockout. I was the general manager of the Montreal Expos when we had the strike in 94 and then the lockout for spring training of 95. Charged with putting together a team of scabs or replacement players, to put it more politically correct. It's very challenging because you're trying to play by the rules, which are no contact for GMs and baseball people in the major leagues with agents or players, but you're still trying to put your team together. So you're doing a lot of covert action and work and conversations, because once this thing is over, this lockout is over, you need to be ready to go. And it was very challenging in 94, 95, because we had replacement players in camp. It ended while we were in camp. We had to let those guys go and then get ready. And hopefully the players are doing what they need to do to be ready once this thing ends. But you as a general manager, as a baseball executive, are still working hard, trying to put your team together or at least get yourself in position to sign free agents or make trades once this lockout ends.
Ultimately, you don't see it affecting the 162, do you? No matter when they resolve it.
No, I don't, unless it gets deep into April or May, then possibly. But I'm always optimistic, Rob. I believe that the cooler, smarter heads will prevail and they will figure this out. You know, it's interesting. Both sides, the union and ownership side, baseball side, talk about doing what's best for the fans, but it always seems like that's secondary. And I'm hoping that with Rob Manfred and MLB and Tony Clark and the union, that they'll figure out how to get this. Rob, we all know this. Nick knows this. There's enough money to go around. This pie is big enough to be able to split it up where everybody's happy and the fans don't suffer. The fans, a lot of them I know, even kind of semi-baseball fans, love spring training. They love to go to Arizona and Florida. That's a big part of it. And I'm hoping they get this lockout and this deal done before spring training is supposed to start. I mean, that everyone looks forward to that. I have to say, even when I was a general manager, it was one of my favorite times of the year because we were undefeated all of spring training. I mean, I have the greatest record ever as a major league GM during spring training. So I'm just hoping for the fans' sake they get this done.
Nick, maybe you could speak to a little bit from a player aspect, someone who's not far removed from the game, and I'm sure you still have friends and guys you played with, former teammates. How do you see them preparing themselves right now? I mean, what's the mindset of a player as they're locked out and going through all that?
Yeah, the mindset is you're going to play February 12th or whenever the first day is of spring training. You're preparing like it's a normal season. You always – there's one thing you can control in the game, and that's how you prepare. So definitely want to get ready for 162, get ready for a playoff push, get ready for spring training. I'll echo what Kevin said. I mean, one of my favorite times was spring training too, and having the fan accessibility there. So many people from when I was with the Padres brought their families over, made a quick drive over to Peoria and brought their families and got access and autographs and just a great atmosphere for people to be involved. So hopefully it goes full scale and like Kevin said, cooler heads, smaller heads will prevail because there's too much to lose if it doesn't.
Kevin, your career in Major League Baseball, you had a lot of success, but you chose to go a different path. Tell me a little bit about that transition, because I look around now and I see baseball as an industry where, you know, I covered Dave Dombrowski last year. I see guys who are your age and even older who are still in the game, who are still running teams, whether they're a GM, a president. What led you to go in a different direction?
Well, I think that it was God's calling on my life. I think the Lord, I think, positioned me to be in baseball for 17 years, Major League Baseball, as a scout, a coach, and a general manager. And I believe it was to create a platform for now. I think, you know, what I always tell people is what the media who got me fired, what they meant for evil, God meant for good. So this created a platform, a voice for me to still be heard in regards to what I'm currently doing, which is fighting child sex trafficking in America. We have a huge problem. American men are the number one consumers of buying sex from children in the world. So I'm trying to get the word out and to push back, change laws. And I really believe, you know, I love Major League Baseball. I love the relationships. I love trying to compete for championships and beating people and being strategic and preparing and all that goes into it. And I think a lot of that, Rob, was God preparing me to put together teams to fight for our children, to fight human trafficking. I think a lot of what I learned, experienced, relationships has helping me now accomplish what God's called me to do. So I always tell people when I was in baseball, I felt like God called me into baseball. And I look back on it now and it was a great experience. It ended shorter than I thought it would be. I thought I'd be in baseball most of my whole life, but God had other plans and I'm thankful for that. You know, it was a blessing. I loved every aspect of it, except for dealing with media types who had a different agenda. And as you know, Rob, you're one of the few that tell the truth, but most of the people in the media have a real problem telling the truth. So it was a battle that I endured and unfortunately I lost. Quick story, Tommy Lasorda came into my office one day at Dodger Stadium and had the paper. He said, Kevin, don't you read the paper? They're going after you. They're writing all these things about you that aren't true. And after I took on the media, the LA Times, Tommy said, Kevin, you're not very smart, are you? They buy ink by the barrels, and you're not going to win this battle. So I lost the battle, but, you know, again, God had something planned for me, and I'm thankful to the Dodgers, to the Orioles, and to the Expos, where I had a chance to run those three major league teams.
Kevin, I think it's only gotten worse, too, from your time in baseball to now with the emergence of social media and the clickbait headlines and everything else that old school journalism. I grew up in that old school journalism, mm-hmm. and there's accountability working for the Associated Press. And I don't see that accountability elsewhere. I see things being put out there that aren't necessarily accurate. And they all of a sudden take on a life of their own. And people are getting clicks and likes and tweets and all this stuff. And it's unfortunate. And sometimes it makes me wonder, but I feel like God's positioned me in the job that I am to be that, to do my part, to be able to use my platform to share. So I appreciate conversations with guys like yourself. Tell me how did you become the CEO, the chairman for the United States Institute Against Human Trafficking?
You know, it's been an interesting journey. God has really blessed me, and I've messed up all along the way, and I've fallen short, and God continues to forgive me as only he can do and love me and bless me. And when I got out of baseball, I was blessed to own a Mercedes-Benz dealership with Eddie Murray, the Hall of Famer. I was in that car business as an owner until 2010. But in 2009, I went to Thailand with my pastor, Francis Chan. And I saw and met and spent time with 4, 5, and 6-year-old little boys and girls that had been sold as sex slaves in Thailand. And it broke my heart. And as you guys know, be careful for when you pray, God, break my heart for what breaks yours. He did that. And he put this kind of this burden on me to come back to America and to really find out what's going on in regards to child sex trafficking in America. This was 2009. And lo and behold, you know, a lot of it was happening, but there wasn't much talk about it. The media seems to not really want to delve into this and talk about what's really going on. And so that was in 2009. I started getting involved. And then 2014, full time, I went into fighting this. And I started a ministry called Protect the Path, which is protecting the path. Path is people against trafficking humans. And then a couple years into that, then I met a guy in Florida, Jeff Rogers. We started the United States Institute Against Human Trafficking with an emphasis on boys. See, what people don't know in America is that 36%, according to the Department of Justice, of American boys and girls, 36% of trafficked children are boys. So I was in Phoenix at the Super Bowl, became aware that boys were being sold as sex slaves. And then my partner and I, he had three young boys, Jeff. We decided to open a boys' home for trafficked boys 17 and under, which we did, which is in the state of Florida. And we're working. That's part of our focus. And we are supporting other girls' safe homes. But what I'm really trying to do is work at the federal and at the state level to change laws to protect our kids from being trafficked. What you have some states that do a good job, some states don't. And we're really trying to make people aware that there's only 2 or 3 degrees of separation away from your kids or grandkids, nephews and nieces of being trafficked. And much of it's done online and through social media. But we have a real problem in America with our children being under attack, being targeted by predators. And it's scary. It's evil. And people aren't talking about it, really. It's starting to become more well-known when guys, major league players like Nick and NFL players like Carson Wentz and Aaron Rodgers and other guys are out there talking about it. Johnny Hecker, the punter for the Rams, is taking a stand and using his platform. So we need to be a team. We need to all work together. And that's why I appreciate you, Rob, in helping us, Nick and I and others, get the message out. Our kids are under attack and we need to protect them. It's, as we know, things are going crazy in America, this cancel culture and all this stuff that's going on. We need to protect our children because they are under attack.
We'll be right back with more with Kevin Malone and Nick Hunley. You're listening to Faith on a Field Show presented by International Justice Mission and the Masters University.
Today, over 40 million people are being forced into trafficking and slavery. 1 in 4 are children. We cannot allow them to suffer in silence. We need you. We need everybody. Go to IJM.org/take action. Get information. Understand how you can be involved. Because of the work that you are committing to do, they will be free.
For nearly 100 years, the Masters University has held an uncompromising commitment to Christ and Scripture, equipping thousands of young people to have an impact for the Lord across the world. The school offers more than 150 accredited programs, all taught from a biblical worldview, as well as financial aid options and 17 intercollegiate athletic teams. Visit the Masters University in Santa Clarita, California, or at masters.edu. That's masters.edu.
Hey, this is Jerome Bettis, former running back from the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by International Justice Mission and the Masters University. I'm Rob Motti. If you're listening to us for the first time, you can go to faithonthefieldshow.com, find every episode since we launched in 2017. We've had an awesome lineup of guests. You can listen anytime at your convenience on any of the podcast platforms. You'll hear full interviews on there. Be sure also to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Faith on the Field, and tell a friend or two about the show. I want to take a minute to thank our wonderful sponsors. Please check them out on our website, International Justice Mission, The Masters University, Heritage's Dairy Stores. If you would like to be a sponsor for our show, help our ministry grow, please reach out to us at team@faithonthefieldshow.com. We have various packages that we can cater specifically to fit your needs. Our goal is to be on a sports radio station in every state. And if you don't have a business to advertise on but just want to help the ministry, we do have a donate button on our page on faithonthefieldshow.com. You can also help out by purchasing some of our merchandise through Remy's 828 Threads Apparel store. We have t-shirts and so much more. Check it out. Really cool stuff. You can find it on our site, faithonthefieldshow.com, under merch. We'll continue now the conversation with Kevin Malone and Nick Hundley.
Kevin, when you said about American men are the number one consumers, is that within also, or are they going outside the country?
Great question. Both. They go outside. You know, there's various countries that have sex tourism where these men go and pay to have sex with kids, little girls and little boys, which I mean, you know, before I came to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I was a disgusting pig. But that never crossed my mind. That I can't wrap my arms around it. It's unconscionable. So, but American men, well, they don't have to travel anymore outside, because American boys and girls, there's the numbers, and depend, you know, the research and the data, depending on where you go to find your information, it's reported that between 100 and 200,000 American boys and girls are being sold every day for sex in the United States. That's not counting all the international and foreign kids that are throughout the United States. So we've got a huge problem. And that's why I appreciate, again, guys like Nick and others making people aware that we have a problem. And you know what? I do want to bring shame on men that are doing this, that are buyers of sex from children. But I want them to know that there is help. There is hope. They can get help, and they need to get help so they can break away from this evil addiction. And I can't really relate to it, to be honest with you. I mean, we all have challenges. We all have things in our past, but I don't think there's anything worse than this, in my opinion.
Kevin, I appreciate you saying that, because when I think of the buyers, the men, grace is not not the first thing that comes to my mind. I can't even speak of like how I would want to treat that. I'd have to be arrested for wanting to pummel them. But I appreciate where your heart is saying that. Nick, as we're going to talk about what human trafficking efforts are going to be done around the Super Bowl with International Justice Mission and both of you guys and what you're doing, tell me a little bit about all of the work. And, you know, we talk about the Super Bowl, but there's other major sporting events as well around the year. And there's the realities of human trafficking all year round, Nick, and I'm sure you're aware of that. What can you share about it?
I know that, the Super Bowl gets the rap that it's the biggest trafficking day of the year. I don't know if you can prove that, but I do know that human trafficking and this online abuse is a 365-day-a-year problem. Being involved now for probably about 7 years, is probably the online abuse of kids is probably the darkest thing that I've ever seen. And it's happening, like Kevin said, the consumers in countries like America, in Canada, in Great Britain, in affluent countries, and they're preying on people who live in poverty, who can't defend themselves. So that part of it, a good friend, Mark Batterson, he's a pastor and author in DC. He wrote a book and it said, things that make you mad, sad, and glad are God-ordained passions in your life to follow. And It makes me disgusted and mad that children are preyed upon and have no chance of defending themselves. So we, being at, that athletic space, like Kevin said, in competition, we really, when we're playing, really enjoyed going up against the best and testing our skills against the best in the world and see what happens. And now you get out of that, and this is way more important than any game you could ever play, ever win, ever lose, because people's lives are at stake. And I know if my daughters, we have two, was ever in a situation like this, I would do whatever it took to go get them, to go find them. So me and my wife knew that if we would do that for our girls, we needed to do that for other kids as well, because we're all children of the King. So like Kevin said, it's not that far away. The separation is not that far away from our own family too. So we were very blessed to be involved. But the awareness side of it, yeah, the Super Bowl gets a lot of publicity. But that next Monday, there's somebody being trafficked. And, you know, the thing that I love about IJM and that model is going through the entire process of accountability of the perpetrator. You know, it's great to rescue people out of terrible situations, but without holding the person doing it accountable, the ability for them to go get somebody else who's living in poverty is right there. So to not let people, you know, operate with impunity is really cool. So I've been very blessed to see that process play out.
Tell me a little bit, both you guys, your efforts now around the Super Bowl, because that's what we're gearing up for. That is the next big event. And as you said, that gets that wrap of being. So what efforts are being put in place, and how do we go about just doing whatever we can, everyone doing their part?
Well, I appreciate what Nick said, and it is a demand problem. It's a supply and demand problem. And unless we can get men to change their hearts to stop purchasing sex from children, we're going to continue to have these problems. You know, as Nick mentioned, we can open all the safe homes in America, but we'll never have enough unless we go after demand, stopping men from doing this. But the Super Bowl, as you guys mentioned, it's just one major event. It happens at NASCAR races. It happens at the Indy 500. It happens at the national championship. Any event where there's a large number of men gathering that are partying, drinking alcohol, doing whatever they're doing, it usually will lead to, you know, this type of behavior. Not all, but enough that there is a problem. So with the Super Bowl, the NFL and the LA Sports and Entertainment Commission asked me if I'd be a convener, basically putting together a group of collaborative partners to fight this. So on one side, we have the Alliance, which I was able to form with Frank Reich and his wife, Linda, and his daughter, Leah, from the Colts. They have a ministry called Not Today. We have Inner City Visions, which is in South Central LA, that is doing this work in the gang communities. We have A21, and It's a Penalty. That's this alliance. But also on the other side, you have the International Justice Mission and Nick. You have Athletes in Action doing some things. They're partnering. What we're trying to do is build this team of partnerships, of collaborative efforts, so that we all bring something to the table. We all have this team, this unity. So together, as you know, Rob and Nick knows, we can, together as a team, being united, get more done. So what we're doing in LA is we've got about 13 to 20 nonprofits that fight trafficking year round, every day of the year, coming together to do strip club outreach, to go on the streets. They call them on the tracks. This is where the girls and the women and the boys and men are out there that are being sold, to be out there, to be involved. And then we're working closely with law enforcement on what they can do on their sting operations, being on call, so to speak, that if they come across a bunch of traffic victims, then we can have a place to take them, a triage where they can immediately start getting help. So we have this strategic plan together. One of the other things I want to mention is that we're doing some technology work where we're basically going after the buyers. We're putting things in place to try to deter and prevent men from buying sex from people, especially from children. So it's been going on. We met in Indianapolis. We were at Frank Reich's house with his family and a group of us talking about what can we do. So that started in August, I believe. And so we've been working on a lot of different things. We're trying to get the media more involved. You know, we're trying to put out press releases. We did a PSA, a 30-second PSA on trafficking, and just trying to make people aware. So again, Rob, that's why I appreciate you talking about this, because it's not a very pleasant subject. It's evil, it's dark, it's perverse, But we just want men to stop doing this. And if they need help, they can reach out to me at my organization. It's United States Institute Against Human Trafficking. It's USIAHT.org. Contact us if you want help, if you need resources. We'll help you to stop purchasing sex from kids. We do that. That's part of our overall approach and strategy. So, and I know IJM's doing a lot, especially all around the world with It's a Penalty and A21. So we're battling this in the upcoming weeks in Los Angeles, but it's happening every day in America and all across the world.
Kevin, give me that email address so that people can reach out if they want to, if they need help or however. What is that again?
It's USIAHT.org, the first letter of our name, United States Institute Against Human Trafficking, USIAHT.org. What we're doing is raising up warriors all over the country. We're equipping, training, getting people in the fight, making people aware, tell them how they can fight, what they can do in their own communities, in their own backyards. And we're training law enforcement. We've got educational materials, curriculums. We're attacking this from every angle because it needs that, because these are our children. And as Nick said, a lot of people think, and these are vulnerable kids coming sometimes, oftentimes from lower income families, but there are middle class and upper middle class and wealthy kids that are getting caught up into this too, because I'm working with some of those families around the country. So no kids are protected. They're all at risk. They're all being targeted. So as Nick said, people say, why you do this? It didn't happen to any of your kids. And that's correct. But God has put this on my heart and Nick's and all those in the fight. These are our kids. You know, they might not be my biological children, but I feel an empathy, a sympathy, a desire to protect these kids and do whatever I can, as does Nick and everyone else in this fight. We need more fighters, more warriors, more competitors, because the more that get into this fight, the better our chances are of protecting kids all across the country and all across the world.
Nick, I wanted to ask you about other athletes, how you're seeing them step up to address this issue, whether they're former teammates of yours, guys that you've known throughout your career and now after that. How are you seeing them help step up? How receptive are they when you reach out to them and talk to them about it?
You know, it's amazing. You know, I know Adam Wainwright has an awesome organization that he works with, and he has great quotes. As an athlete, you have this platform for a certain amount of time, so you better stand on it, right? So I've seen guys all across the league, different leagues, hockey, football, baseball, golf, stand up for people that can't fight for themselves. So really just going out, using their platforms, going to Congress, meeting with, like Kevin said, going, changing laws. Say, hey, we don't agree with this. We want this changed. You know, using their voice, using their dollars, using their time, going into the community, going to the Dominican, going to the Philippines, going into the community in South Central LA and speaking. So just to be involved and watch it and see on an intimate basis has been really, really eye-opening for me. And I've been on the job with IJAM for 6 months. So, you know, I feel like the best is yet to come. But like Kevin said, there's such a need. And I love what he talks about the people purchasing need Jesus just as much as I need Jesus. And you need Jesus, Rob and Kevin, too. We're all sinners. Mm-hmm. You know, so to know that and to flip that switch a little bit has been kind of eye-opening to me, too. Because I wasn't there in my relationship with Jesus a year ago. So to see it through that lens as well, really posted. It was really cool. Kim, you guys provide the opportunity for people to get help.
It's remarkable and really appreciative of you guys and what you're doing. Looking forward to maybe hopefully meeting you guys in person in LA and talking more about it. And this is phenomenal. Is there anything you'd like to add as far as this conversation or for people, resources for anything?
I would close with this. I think as we were talking about, you know, I think about everyone out there that is looking for hope. They're looking for purpose. There's something missing in their life. We all know this. I know personally that I had a void in my life and I was trying to fill it with all the things that the world says will fill it. but it never really satisfied until I was introduced to Jesus Christ, and I asked for forgiveness of my sins, repented, and he came into my heart, and he is my purpose, and he is my hope. So anyone out there listening, and I know you're searching, I know a lot of people are hurting now through the last couple of years with COVID, and people don't really know this cancel culture. I would say, I would beg you to reach out and cry out to Jesus Christ. He is the answer. He is the solution. He is the remedy. He will change your life. It doesn't mean that everything's going to go perfect from there on out. There's going to be challenges. But what you do have is a relationship with God, with his son Jesus, and he will help you to get through the challenging times. He will provide you with peace. He will provide you with opportunities. He will bless you. There's nothing like walking with Jesus. And I won world championships. I've owned Mercedes-Benz. I owned a dealership. I've had the best that the world has to offer, Rob. Nothing compares to being in a loving relationship with God through faith in his son, Jesus Christ. It's the truth. It really is the truth. Now, people want to, all that other stuff, I did it all. And it doesn't work. It doesn't last very long. It's very temporary. What I'm talking about starts now and lasts through eternity.
Amen. I know the work that he's done in my life. I know you've said it about the work he's done in your life, Nick, as well. And I tell people all the time, it's kind of like the cheat code. We have the answer. And I just want everybody to know what the answer is. I have the answer to the test. Life is this big battle and this big test. Jesus is the answer, and he'll help you get through every part of that once you surrender, fully surrender. Nick, is there anything you wanted to close with?
Yeah, well said, guys. You know, talking just through these lenses, this is a messy and difficult subject for sure. And I always kind of go back to John 16:33. So Jesus talking to his disciples says, in this world you have trouble, but take heart, forever come the world. And approaching at that address. Yeah, there's just absolute difficulties. I mean, brutal situations going on. And we're fighting that every day. But we fight it from the address of victory, because we know that Jesus Christ has overcome the world and overcome every evil in this world. And when we know him, we're freed from our sin and death, from certain death. But we're also freed into a battle against the evil forces in this world too. So I want to live at that address. I want to live at the address of victory. And I want people listening to live at that address of victory too.
Thank you guys. Very well said. I appreciate it. Look forward again to meeting you guys.
That's it for this week. Thank you to Kevin Malone and Nick Hundley. Thank you to Doug, Pastor Scott, Josh, and everyone on our Faith on a Field Show team. And thank you for listening to Faith on a Field Show, presented by International Justice Mission and the Masters University. For Remy, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.
Today, over 40 million people are being forced into trafficking and slavery. One in four are children. We cannot allow them to suffer in silence. We need you. We need everybody. Go to IJM.org/take action. Get information. Understand how you can be involved. Because of the work that you are committing to do, they will be free.
For nearly 100 years, the Masters University has held an uncompromising commitment to Christ and Scripture, equipping thousands of young people to have an impact for the Lord across the world. The school offers more than 150 accredited programs, all taught from a biblical worldview, as well as financial aid options and 17 intercollegiate athletic teams. Visit the Masters University in Santa Clarita, California, or at masters.edu. That's masters.edu.